After the weekend attack in London, the British Prime Minister, Theresa May, warned there needed to be greater regulation of the internet and that existing online safe spaces that had allowed terrorism to breed must be eradicated. Australia, the UK, New Zealand, the United States and Canada share intelligence information through the Five Eyes Alliance. And Australia's Attorney General, George Brandis, says he'll raise some of these issues at the next Five Eyes intelligence meeting later this month.
The problem of ubiquitous encryption of communications and the responsibility of the private sector, of the ISPs and the telcos and the device makers to be more proactive, to afford government more cooperation in order to meet these important intelligence and national security and law enforcement obligations.
The Attorney General, George Brandis. To discuss this issue of encryption and the use of the internet by radicals, I was joined earlier by Alastair McGibbon, the Special Advisor to the Prime Minister on Cybersecurity. Good morning and welcome to AM.
Good morning.
This is a top order issue now for Five Eyes nations. What more can they do on this issue of encrypted messaging systems?
Well, the Australian government, in fact, all governments with an interest in the safety of the public, like encryption. End-to-end encryption helps reduce criminality against individuals, against governments and against business. But there's no absolutes. Clearly, encryption causes problems if you're investigating criminals or terrorists.
Security agencies often talk about needing access to encrypted messages. But if you allow intelligence agencies a backdoor method to access this information, being devil's advocate here, aren't you opening it up to all criminals to be able to access this information that's compromised, full stop?
Well, I don't think we're talking about backdoors. Excuse me. What we're saying is that government and businesses always cooperated to help fight crime and terrorism. We expect, in fact, the community expects governments to work with industry to do that. So no one's talking about backdoors here. What we're talking about is the fact that from time to time, you may need to gain access to certain messages. And it may be that even getting access to the message isn't necessary. You'd be well aware of the metadata discussion. It may be that just knowing that you and I a part of a network is enough. So if you look at the London attack, for example, or Manchester, authorities have a very strong interest in understanding the full extent of a network. And it might well be that just you and I communicating, when we communicated and who else we communicated with, is enough to further that investigation. It may not be necessary, in other words, to gain access to the unencrypted message.
How easy or difficult would it be for companies to hand over that information?
Well, in terms of metadata, of course, this country moved metadata laws. Telecommunications companies comply. Just last week, the Prime Minister and the Minister assisting the Prime Minister on cybersecurity, Dan Tehan, ran a round table with the CEOs of telecommunication companies in Australia and ISPs and large technology companies. And that was all about how government and industry can cooperate to fight crime. So there's no absolutes. This is what society expects. Government works with industry. When industry can, industry should assist. Let me use an example. I was a police officer for a fair while. Your home is your castle. It's just part of Australian life. You never expect anyone to come through that door that you don't want. But as a police officer, you'd execute search warrants. From time to time, we do expect our privacy to be breached. But most of us don't ever have that privacy breached. And we need to take that same logic into the online space. That means from time to time, you'd expect a law enforcement agency to break in to a private communication or to something that happens online.
Are the companies being cooperative in this area? Because when the rules were tightened around metadata, there were lots of complaints about the cost being imposed on those companies.
Well, I deal a lot with telecommunications companies, ISPs, and of course over-the-top providers, the app providers and the services that we all know and love online. And you know, I have a great relationship with them. Governments, Western governments all around the world, of course, have great relationships. It's not always perfect, just like our home relationships. But again, society expects providers of services online to reduce the likelihood that a scammer or a terrorist are using that service because, as the Prime Minister said in Singapore last week, these technologies that bring us all together, that are designed to break down barriers, are being used by criminals and terrorists to harm us as well. And we need to make sure that that very small percentage of people, and it is a tiny percent, don't wreck it for the rest of us.
Theresa May excoriated the tech companies on the weekend for allowing radical ideology the safe place it needs to breed, saying that the internet and big companies had allowed that to happen. How responsive are companies to the requests to take down material?
Oh, look, those big companies, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or others, have helped create these big online exchanges. And again, the public expects that they help police that, that having created part of the problem, they help reduce the problem as well. And those companies have really started to step up. And I think they recognise the brand damage that's done when terrorists or criminals misuse it. And it's primarily criminals, of course, that would misuse these types of services. But the bulk of it isn't misused. And they're always evolving that technology. What the UK government says is the UK government. What the Australian government does, and as someone who works with those companies regularly, is we've got good relationships. There's always going to be demands to do more. And I think it's important because the public expects us to do more.
There are reports this morning that Yaqub Khairy, the man who led this latest attack here on home soil in Brighton in Victoria, may have followed online instructions from an Islamic State publication in carrying out his attack. Is it possible for authorities or internet giants to take this kind of material down? Why is it still flourishing?
Yes. In some respects, it's a whack-a-mole game, of course. Material gets taken down, it gets put back up. We do need to make sure that the companies providing services help enforce social standards on those services, just like we expect it offline. It's always been my philosophy, and I've been in this space for an awfully long time on the internet, is that we should just reflect our offline values online. And that does mean companies need to make sure that those services aren't abused. But not all of them are based in the US or in Australia. Some of them are based offshore. It's never going to be a perfect world. The concept of someone being able to be radicalised online should be as unlikely as them being able to be radicalised offline, and it's a continuum these days.
And by raising the idea of regulation, the government's really trying to pressure the companies here into using their own abilities to find extremist material and take it down themselves without the government intervening.
Well, I think the public expects that anyone provides a service, whether it's a bus service or it's an internet service, that good people get to do good things on it and bad people don't interfere with it. So again, it's perfectly acceptable that society expects that providers of services don't have them abused by criminals or terrorists. But there's nothing extreme about that. That's just what we expect offline, and we should have that same philosophy online.
Just on cracking down on the encryption apps, Telegram Messenger is a Russian service, 100 million users. Being Russian, it's going to be beyond the Five Eyes reach. So in some respects, this exercise might be pointless.
Well, that highlights what I say is there's nothing black and white in this. It's a series of shades of grey. And what this is about is not always gaining access to encrypted communications. Sometimes it will be. Other times it's about metadata. Other times it's going to be other investigative techniques used by law enforcement or intelligence agencies.
Mr. McGibbon, thank you very much for joining AM this morning.
Thank you.
The Special Advisor to the Prime Minister on Cybersecurity, Alistair McGibbon.